Sarah Fischko, a producer at WNYC, took an ironic look at a few very earnest artists who seemed to take all of their inspiration from the past.
With Madame Tussauds Wax Museum now open here in Times Square, it's hard not to think about issues of reality, illusion, recreation, and celebrity. For example, I'm not really in Times Square. I just tried to make you think I was by yelling into the mic with sound effects in the background. Maybe you even guessed that. But in any case, you may have enjoyed the illusion or even the failure of the illusion. Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, by the way, for the uninitiated among you, features lifelike, fully costumed wax figures of famous people of the past and present, positioned to be not only viewed, but photographed by you and your loved ones. You and Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, in one photo. Your son posing with his sports hero in another. Your fiancé with a wax reproduction of Eleanor Roosevelt. Even though everybody knows they're wax figures, it's still better to be standing next to Michael Jackson in wax than not at all. Which leads me to a fellow everyone calls Patch.
I want to be a great painter. And the only way to learn how to be a great painter is to copy and learn from the masters.
Onofrio Pacioni was one of the great advertising art directors of the 1960s. After that, a stellar commercial photographer, now a fine artist. He's spent the last 9 years painting copies of artworks. He makes remarkable replicas of seminal works by the great painters.
I do Rembrandts. I've done 4 Rembrandts. I've done Modiglianis. I've done Vermeer. I got a couple of Vermeers.
But they're not, you understand, fakes, these paintings.
It's a Pacioni. It's an interpretation. It's a creative interpretation. That's what it is. I'm making a Van Gogh interpreted by Pacioni. I'm putting my own spirit into it.
Interpretation or not, Pacioni takes considerable pains to create an accurate likeness. He starts off by photographing the painting.
When I start a painting, if I'm going to copy, say, a Cézanne, I almost x-ray it. I dissect sections of it. And I make what I call color notes. And I make maybe a print. And from that I work. And as I'm painting, I love the feeling of being able to do something that's so difficult.
So I have to ask, what makes a good copy? Is the best copy the one that most closely resembles the original? Or is it the one with its own slant on the original? Or what? And Patch seems to feel he has an answer.
If you go to the Met, you'll see a copy of a Rubens by Lansdere. It's about not even a third of the size of the large one, but it's accurate in feeling and attitude and in drawing. That's what makes it good.
The works of Van Gogh, Rembrandt, Picasso, Matisse, Renoir, and absolutely everyone else, as interpreted by Onofrio Pacioni, are on display at a gallery in New Hope, Pennsylvania. All your favorite paintings are there, but Patch says he has other reasons. He's not that interested in selling.
I practically know these people. I can have lunch with them. It's like, you know, sitting around with Degas, Cézanne, Monet, and Renoir. I know what they're thinking. I know how they feel. I know what they like to eat. You pay tribute to these people, and you learn from them.
He learns, sure. But sometimes he even fools himself.
I did a Chagall. And I interpreted Chagall. You swear. It's a new Chagall. I could have pawned it off as a Chagall, but I wouldn't do that. Every painting I do, I always sign Pacioni after Rembrandt, Pacioni after Vermeer. I'm not in the business to deceive. I'm only in the business to recreate.
Recreation is the name of Jack Gibbons' game as well. The pianist recreates Gershwin. This Gershwin, the George Gershwin that would sit down at the piano and wow him at parties. In fact, Gibbons' most recent New York concert was called a Gershwin party.
He was a tremendous virtuoso and completely self-taught. Of course, there's the story that Rachmaninoff heard Gershwin playing in Carnegie Hall and came around to see him afterwards and was bowled over with Gershwin's piano technique. And of course, there's the cine film of Gershwin. You can see him playing, and his left hand is leaping all over the place. I can give you an example. The left hand leaps up and down like this sort of thing. You start with a very large chord. You move up to a...
Gibbons, too, uses an almost X-ray-like dissection of his subject, transcribing every note from piano rolls and recordings.
I Got Rhythm, he plays the tune just with the thumb of his right hand, like this. Well, he's obviously got four fingers in the same hand that aren't doing anything, so he gives them something to do at the same time. He then puts the beats in the left hand. I feel very sort of almost religious about Gershwin, and for me, what I really want to do is play Gershwin's own notes, and that doesn't just mean the melody, I mean, it means all the harmonies and rhythms as well.
So, copying is acceptable. Maybe it's even downright popular. It's apparently satisfying to some artists and to some audiences as well. And as long as everybody knows it's a copy, everybody's happy. Recreations are okay. Among consenting adults. Which brings me to Big Bird's Orchestra. An audio tape, purchasable at your local bookstore with companion book, which is supposed to introduce very young children to the instruments.
I'm Big Bird, the conductor.
But upon examination by a grown-up, it appears as if something is rotten in Toyland. It appears as if these sounds, identified as the instruments of the orchestra, are in fact created on a synthesizer.
On the violin prairie.
If that's a violin, I'm Yasha Heifetz.
Bassoon sound deep.
Listen to what's supposed to pass as a bassoon.
And Harry on the triangle.
Even the triangle is a pale imitation. But that's not even the point. The point is there are times when only the real thing will do. Skilled artists can paint staggering replicas of great oil paintings. Wax figures, remarkably like Oprah Winfrey and Golda Meir, now animate Times Square. Musicians recapture a bit of history by mimicking the style of long-dead innovators, fine. Grown-ups agree to suspend disbelief and may have fun doing it. But come on. At least let a child hear a real violin, so he might fall in love with that sound and someday long to recreate it on, of all things, another real violin. For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Fishko.